Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda.
Today's guest, very, very funny comedian. Heard about him also from my girlfriend, so we're going to judge her.
It's okay. A twofer.
That's right.
I love it.
Before I introduce him, let me ask you this, Chemda. What do you? How do you do this without seeming petty? All right, so this gentleman, our guest, he went to the wrong address.
Yes.
Then said, oh, you gave me the wrong address. No big deal, but
yes,
you did.
Yeah, I hate when I do that.
So you double check.
And I gave him the right address.
Now, what is the way to not be petty and just so he leaves here knowing it's his fault, not ours?
Probably to tell my co-host and then he insists to say it on the show right before we introduce him.
Well, let's forget the whole thing. Ladies and gentlemen, Brian McKenna.
Yes, thank you for having me, everyone. This has been the best introduction I've ever had. Did you give me the right address? You did?
Yes.
Well, for the record, I'm just less dyslexic, although that does not mean that I lose numbers. It just means I move them around. So it's a possibility that I made a mistake. I apologize.
But all these little, again, this is more silly than anything else, but it is funny in life, these little things that bug you that you're the asshole if you bring up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah? I know. It's like, I always check, like, how did I mess that up? Where did I mess that up? And then when I see that I don't mess it up, I'm like, how do I tell him that I'm not the fuck up?
Well, and you could have just said that to me. But, yeah, no, I'm a fuck up to begin with. So
but
it's like,
but then it's like, who cares? Your hair, we worked it out. Yeah. You weren't complaining. Yeah,
because, you know, when you thought it was my fault, you weren't like, you gave me the wrong address.
Right.
If you had that attitude, I'd be like, oh, I can't wait till I tell you that I got
the
right address.
Oh, yeah, that's a layup. Yeah, that's a. And I would have deserved it. Yeah. And I would have expected it to be on the air. I would have been pissed if it was behind the scenes. I'm like, no, I deserved to get yelled at for that.
No, it's somebody saying, you know, I know you ate the last slice of pizza. And it's like, oh, I didn't. It's like, doesn't even bother me. Yeah. You did and it's okay.
You did, right?
It's
fine.
No, I didn't.
It's like, so petty.
Yeah, you're making a big deal of a slice of pizza. I don't care that you ate it. No, motherfucker.
Yeah, it's so petty. Are you kidding? I've sent Doug Stanhope to the wrong address.
Oh, that's hilarious.
You've sent Gilbert Gottfried to the wrong address.
I sent him to my personal.
To be granted, he might have just been knocking on random doors anyway.
That's so what I was hoping, but you know, when the guest is like, I'm here and I don't see you, and we quickly check whose fault it is and it's ours. It's
so funny.
Fuck. I sent Doug Stanhope to my house. Just like, whatever.
Yeah, I sent Gilbert to my house.
And that was probably a rude awakening for anyone at your house.
Well, what's good about Gilbert is he knows he needs a handler for literally every step of the way. And so he stayed in the car until somebody went to get him.
Yeah.
Instead of just trying to get into my apartment.
Right. So I had to call. Yeah, that's the thing. He didn't know he was in the wrong address. He's like, well, somebody told me I arrived, so the next person needs to come get me.
Right.
And I said, are you still in the cab? And he said, yeah. I said, give the cab driver my phone. Cause I don't even want to work the logistics out with you, because I didn't. I always work it out with his wife. So I told the cab, I'm like, don't let this guy out of your cab. I will give you $20 if you just come to the address that I will tell you right now, which is like a mile from here.
Yeah.
And so, cause he's like, oh, I have another thing. I'm like, you don't have shit. Just I'll give you $20 cash.
Yeah, right.
And suddenly he doesn't have shit.
What do you think was going through Gilbert's mind when the car just started
nothing.
Moving?
Nothing.
Like when it was moving,
nothing.
He was like,
literally
like
nothing.
Just looking around.
You think he knows how a stoplight works?
That's a good point. That's a good point.
He thought it's a driving intermission.
I have a funny story about him if you want to hear it.
Yeah.
I opened for him one time at a comedy club out on Long Island, and it was a very funny moment. Right? Because he goes, I walk up to him and meeting him is like a big deal.
Yes.
Comedy. I'm like, oh my God, I get to meet Gilbert Gottfried tonight. So I walk up to him and I go, hey Gilbert, how you doing? You know, I'm Brian. I'm like, I'm the opener. And he's like, oh, hi, how are you? And he gives you that kind of blank stare. And then I go, actually, you were in one of my favorite TV shows ever growing up. And I go, it was Are You Afraid of the Dark? Because he's in like a random episode. But I remember I remember his voice. I remember everything. So he goes, oh yeah. And he goes, you know who was in that episode and who I worked with? I go, who? He goes, Ryan Gosling. And then he pauses and he goes, and now I'm working with you. And I was like, that is hilarious. I'm like, yes, that's so funny. I was like, he insulted me and Ryan Gosling at the same time. I'm like, right. How amazing is that?
Before the show, we were talking how when you went to school, you went to a Catholic school,
right? Kindergarten through senior year of high school.
Oof.
Do you still practice?
Because I mean, I believe in God. It's just not the Catholic Church.
Right.
I have a thing against the Catholic Church. It's kind of a disaster.
Yeah, it's not looking good, right? No, it's not.
You know, there's, it's like, you know, I guess they did well for a while, but now it's, they're on the decline, I would say.
You saw kids, and I'm talking sixth grade, doing cocaine.
No, no, not six. No. We were 16. We were in high school.
Now, I like the way... Now, that's fine. You can correct me, but I tend to go, no, not even close. They were 16. You're making it sound like they were 13. Okay. So 16 years old,
yeah.
They openly do coke.
Yes. Very much open.
I'm telling you. Now, did my school in the country not do this, or was I not included in anything?
I don't know. What school did you go to?
The school of uncool. This is 16 years old.
Well, keep this in mind. The school that I went to, I'll say the name. I guess, can I say it? I guess it doesn't. St. Dominic's High School in Oyster Bay.
Okay, St. Dominic's. Oyster Bay.
There was a lot of kids who went there who had a lot of money.
Oh, Oyster Bay.
Oyster Bay, yes. Oh, Billy Joel. God.
Did everyone have a boat out there?
A lot did, yes.
Yes.
A lot of kids had boats, yes.
Keith, you can't ride a boat without doing some cocaine. And you have to understand that all the cops are doing it kind of on the side with you, and or you're married to one, so it's fine.
Would they, like, I'm thinking, what did I do at 16? You had to give speeches sometimes. Are those the funniest things? The people on coke giving a speech to the class?
No, no, this wasn't anything. This was like outside of school, actual school, but like there was kids who were like actually addicted to coke.
That makes sense.
Like every single party they were doing it. It was like, it was kind of strange. You know what I mean?
Then they
like,
were doing school too. You'd have to
They
assume,
might have
right?
been. Yeah, they might have been. I mean, I don't know. I just saw it at parties. Like anytime I went to like a high school drinking party, it was like, oh, okay. So-and-so does coke too. All right.
It's a big one. But I remember in high school, I started hearing like, oh, I did acid this weekend, like overhearing. You know, my friends weren't doing it, but I could tell everyone was starting to do drugs. I just somehow kind of stayed away from it. But they were also having sex. They were pregnant people. Mm. There was, you know, the whole thing. And I think at 16, you're doing adult shit. That's what I think. I think at 16, expect your kids to be doing adult shit.
Wow.
I'm not saying that coke should be prevalent or like is good to be prevalent, but I think at 16, you're starting to do drugs or you're dabbling
at least a little bit.
Yeah, you're sexually active in one way or another. And so I think drinking goes with coke, and I think Long Island goes with drugs.
Yes.
I don't know. In Long Island, I don't think teenagers are doing anything but like killing themselves slowly on drugs or depression. That's my view of Long Island.
How do you tell your, my girlfriend is a 16-year-old, I might have to get involved. How do you tell them about drugs? Because they'll roll their eyes at any lecture.
Yeah.
My plan is you play movies where they end up like Requiem for a Dream, you know, things like
Basketball
that.
Basketball Diaries.
Yeah, like that. Right.
Like a real, it's like real bad. Yeah.
By the way, wasn't that funny? Basketball Diaries. He's like, I needed money for heroin. So I had boys suck me off in the bath. Like it wasn't vice versa.
Yeah, it was in the Penn Station bathroom. He's like, no, everyone blew me. I didn't blow anyone. It's like, right. Well, I'm sure you dabbled a little bit there, Leo. You know what I mean?
But you play those movies and you like it's background almost. And then they get involved and they realize, oh, if I keep doing this, I'm going to have to go ass to ass.
Yeah.
I think so too. I think my parents scared the shit out of me of drugs and I stayed away from it. The problem is you start doing drugs in other ways. Like no matter what, if you want out of your mind, you're going to start doing something that's detrimental to your health. So I think like maybe my thing wasn't coke because I get too nervous about that. It took me a really long time to do drugs. Like I was in my 30s, you know? So, but you can scare them away from things, but I think they'll pick up something else. So if you got them scared about drugs, they'll maybe cut themselves. If you got them scared about cutting themselves in drugs, they'll maybe drink too much because drinking is so okay. You know, maybe it's I'm not accepted, 21, but it's everywhere and it's in your parents' closet and no one's really going like, oh, you're too young or it's illegal. It's not that. It's just like you're fucking with yourself. And it's like, well, alcohol seems to be. So I just think it's all the same thing. You're just trying to get out of your head. And instead of saying like sex is bad, this is bad, it's getting out of your head is a thing. Yeah. Let's talk about that.
Imagine even having to tell your 16-year-old, you're not trying out Tide Pods with your friends, right? You know?
I can't believe that was a fad. I really can't.
Yeah.
Do you see what they're doing now? They put like a special top on top of the Tide so you can't open it as easy.
Yeah, a 16-year-old like, can open that.
But that's what I was laughing at. I'm like, oh, by the way, that's stopping nobody, by the way. Right. I go, except for me who can't get it open to actually do my laundry. You know what I mean? I'm like, come on with this shit. That was a disaster, that whole thing. I don't know. I never got the drug thing. like I drank in high school and stuff, but it was then never you got it. It was never out of control though. Like I was never, but I never did. I smoked weed a couple times. I was never, I knew kids who were smoking weed the second school ended. 3:15, 3:16, they were smoking weed.
What did alcohol do for you?
I don't know. It was more of like just being at a party and having a good time. Uh-huh. That's what it did for me.
Yeah.
But like I never wanted to drink it when I wasn't at a party. And even now I'm kind of like, yeah, I don't want to drink it unless I'm like at a bar and like hanging out and having
so a what time. Disease did you have? Because you clearly don't have alcoholism. You just don't have
I
it.
Have like OCD or something. Like I'm like obsessed with like, but I it's like.
How do you hurt yourself?
I go to the gym. That's it.
No, shut the fuck up.
That's okay. it. Like that's it. I'm telling you, that's all I do.
We have a guest on here. We had a guest that says, that was saying how about his clean living and how there's not a, he doesn't have something wrong. And kind of just stares at these people like, I know you're a human being. There's got to be something. I figured out what it is. It's hilarious to me. So there's always something with somebody.
Of course.
How many roommates have you had sex with?
I lived with two girls and one of them. Yeah.
Okay.
So I did that once.
All right.
Did that come out good?
No. That's why I moved out of Queens. It was a terrible idea. You know, although like when I moved in with two girls, everyone was just like, oh, you're going to hook up with one of them. And I'm like, no, I'm not. That's ridiculous. I'm like, I have strong will. I'll be fine. Like, it's not a big deal. And then I hooked up with one of them. And then I was like, oh, I got to get out of here.
Do you make poor sex choices sometimes?
No, I don't think so.
Sex has never got you in trouble aside from that?
Besides for that, like that was the first time where I was like, oh shit, this is a bad idea.
Candy, sugar.
No,
you're just boring.
Yeah, like I'm kind of boring in that way. Yeah. I mean, look, I used to play video games a lot. Growing up. But then I kind of kicked out and just moved to the gym.
Did you used to?
But here's the thing. Let's not get it twisted. My family is a disaster. Like I have six brothers and sisters. Well, right. Six total. I have three older brothers, an older sister, and a younger sister.
Are you a people pleaser?
I don't know. Maybe.
Do you say yes when you mean no a lot?
No. I'm very, I'd say more assertive and aggressive.
What would your ex-girlfriend say was your problem? Do you have an ex-girlfriend?
Yeah, I have a couple ex-girlfriends. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like I always, I probably sarcasm. Like I'm kind of a, like people take what I say out of context sometimes for sure. But like, I don't know if that's one of the reasons. I'm pretty cool with most of my exes for the most part.
What kind of abs are we looking at since you're at the gym so much?
I've been eating really poorly lately.
Fuck you. What kind of abs? I don't give a shit.
I have decent abs. They're not amazing.
No, I don't care. You have to have the best abs. You just told me your problem was your abs.
I didn't say my abs. You said my abs.
If I was at the gym as much as I smoked pot, my abs would be a huge problem for me.
You know, I don't know. Like I when it comes to like my issue,
right?
I'm
the
you,
big
like,
problem is going to the gym. Yeah. I should be next to Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, right? Yeah, you should be.
It's not a problem. It's just something I like need to do. Like it makes me feel good
every day.
It keeps me almost every day, mm-hmm. 5 days a week. Otherwise, I feel like out of sorts. I feel like strange. But I was always like an athlete growing up. I played baseball, basketball. Like so, I always kind of I guess went to the physical kind of things. But maybe that's why I never went into drugs or anything. I always had something to do.
What's your pack? 2-pack, 4-pack, 6-pack?
I have 4 right now.
You have 4?
Yeah, just because like I like a good hamburger. You know, I like hamburgers.
It takes up the other two.
Yeah, it takes up the other two. So it's just,
you know. What if it's not even two? The two aren't even across from each other.
There's one here, one lower. Yeah.
Somebody's starting tic-tac-toe. Listen to this, by the way. Speaking of big family, 6 siblings of an Arizona congressman are sharing their thoughts about their brother in a campaign ad supporting his opponent.
God, you must be the biggest prick.
I would do that. So, I would do that.
Against your siblings?
I guess I have a couple older brothers who I don't like at all. I haven't talked to them in years. But like if they came to me and they were like, would you, I wouldn't say anything bad, but I'd be like, nah, vote for this guy.
Oh yeah? Because Long Island is so great.
Well, it's got nothing to do with Long Island. We're just Irish Catholic assholes. That's what we are.
What's their problem? Why aren't you speaking to them?
It's a lot, my dad passed away 6 years ago and then like a lot of things took place. After he passed, like my oldest brother does not speak to my youngest sister.
Okay.
She was 7 when he stopped talking to her. Like it's, you're like, wait, what? Like, and I wish that was a lie. Like right. She was 7 and he was 21 and had a kid. And he felt like my parents were doing too much for, like, he wanted my parents to be more involved with his son. And my mom was like, oh, hey, you know, that's great. I'm all on board. I have 2 kids at home, one being 13, me, and my little sister 7. She's like, I have to raise them also. Like, I don't have time to raise your kid. So like, I'll be in your kid's life, of course, but like, you can't expect me to drop everything and be at every single thing that you want me to be. And my brother just lost his mind. Like, he was just, and then it progressively got worse over the years. And then,
but I assume he was phenomenal right before that.
He was okay. Like, he was all right. He married a girl who, you know, here's the thing.
What's your brother's name?
Frank. I don't want to say, he's a cop too.
Oh,
he's a New York City cop
too. Long Island.
Yeah.
Was Frank's wife like, listen, your family should be helping. I don't understand. Your mother already has a 7-year-old. If I drop off this 1-year-old, I don't get it. It's not that much work. Your mother's supposed to be there for you. Heaven forbid if I had a mother that would respond like your mother.
Everything but the accent. Everything but the accent.
The accent's the fun part.
Yeah, everything but the accent. She just didn't have that. But like, I don't know. Like,
was he like, why are you wearing that, Tina? I don't get it. When I met you, you were wearing that. What do you think happened? That's right. I knocked you up. Why are you wearing that to this party?
Yeah, again, without the accent. That was him. That sounds kind of very similar to my brother.
So in this story, the ad begins featuring a series of people lambasting Republican Representative Paul Gosar over his far-right views and telling viewers he doesn't have your interest at heart. At the end of the ad, the kids, the sextet, reveal that they are all related to Gosar and that they back David Brill, the Democrat, hoping to upseat the lawmaker. Paul Gosar's my brother, says one. Another one says, and I support Dr. Brill.
Jesus.
You've got to be hated.
It's going to be a weird Christmas dinner when they all get back together. You know what I mean? Like,
let's see. Gosar is a noted conspiracy theorist who promoted the bogus birther tale about former President Obama not being born in the U.S.
I can't believe that this is like a thing that we can reference still.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, he wasn't born here. I'm like, will you guys stop?
You know, the birther thing.
Right.
Let's put a name on it.
One of his sisters said, quote, it would be difficult to see my brother as anything but a racist.
See, that's okay. That's rough. That's a rough.
But that means you have to be that bad.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah, you would have to be.
Because, you know, when your parents talk, they're like, listen, my parents, they're racist, but they're not that racist. Like, this is how people talk about their parents. Yeah. You know, they're misguided. They're old. They have some old notions. And then you still introduce them to your black friend. Right.
Yeah.
And then, but this is like, dude, stay away from my brother. Yeah. You know, people make up almost terrible excuses for the way their family behaves. Like, you could really hurt your child and your sibling growing up, and they'll still be like, yeah, we had some things, but this is
6 siblings. When I was a waiter, I couldn't spit in food in front of one other waiter, but there were 6 of that. You know, there's some of my siblings, you'll hear them on Keith and the Girl, and there's others, of course, that want to be private and won't be. I can't get them all to agree on anything.
Yeah.
And they 6.
That's all. Yeah, that is a big number. That's true. To have 6 people to be like, this, he's nuts. He's right. Don't vote for this guy. We don't know what he's up to. That is a lot of people.
With a lot of inside information.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, by the way, speaking of religion, I got an email from Mike Kaplan. Obviously a mass email. Perhaps you all got it as well. And I mean all of you. The subject is, I love you, friend. Happy Yom Kippur week. Hello, my friend. Just wanted to say hello and send love. This is a message I am sending to many, but I am also specifically interested in communicating directly and personally with you whenever we want and can. Feel free to write back to this or text me or do whatever you wish. Whatever projects you are working on, I'm excited to see and hear and know about them. Maybe we're working on things together. Maybe we will. However you're spending your time, I'm glad you are alive. Was this written on acid?
It's so nice.
I am glad we know one another. Beep bop.
I feel like he's about to ask you for $5,000 at the end. Like one of those princes from like Nigeria who's like, I hope everything's great. I need $5,000. Could you just wire it to the...
Listen, if everything's great with you, let's discuss me.
Right. I love you and your art and your caring for yourself and others. If you got this letter, I would like you to ask for $5 from him. Maybe we've been in touch recently or not as recently. So I'm not even on a special list. It's even people he hasn't talked to recently. I hope this finds you as well as can be. If times have been difficult, I offer you my thoughts and love and strength and ear if you'd like me to listen. If times have been abundant, I am the gladdest for you. Also in the spirit of Yom Kippur, if I am...
Yom Kippur is, by the way, the Day of Atonement. You have to fast for 24 or 25 hours, sundown to sundown.
All right, so here's what he sends. If I have wronged you in the last year-ish, my sincere apologies... And if you would like to talk about it more, I am here. This is the worst non-apology I've ever gotten, right? Thank you for being my friend, for being alive, for doing what you do, all such things. And if you want to write back, no pressure, of course, I'd be happy to hear from you. Thanks again, and love always, Mike. Now, picture there really is something that he owed you an apology for. This would make me vomit.
I'd be furious.
Then normally I would be like, Keith, this is a private email, but I was like, meh, probably the audience got it.
Yeah. Too. When the CC says undisclosed recipients, you know what I mean? You're like, he sent this to a lot of people. All right, this is a lot.
I know. I read that part of if I wronged you. And the thing
just
is,
just let me know and I'll talk to you about it.
We'll talk about it.
You let me know. It is obviously on my mind so much I have no idea what I'm asking or who I'm asking it to. But if you got a problem, hey, I'm always open. You have until 364 days.
To next Yom Kippur.
Right.
Hey, technology is helping Yom Kippur move very fluid.
Right.
Well, I mean, he was fasting, so he was probably out of it.
I doubt that he was fasting.
Yeah, Catholic had to turn on his computer and type this out for him.
I recently got one. I like when he sends me one right before an ayahuasca trip. Mm. Because I get texts late, I respond late, and I'm like, do I send it now? He's probably not looking at his phone now because I'm like, how is your trip?
Have you ever done ayahuasca?
Not ayahuasca. I want to do it, but I'm up to mushrooms right now. Like, yeah. I did weed, if you can call it doing weed.
Doing weed, okay.
Acid. Acid was phenomenal. And acid is my gateway because I'm like, fuck you guys. Acid was like light as fuck.
Shit.
Yeah. Like, it's fun. It's not heavy like they said. It's not as, I did Molly. Molly's, if you did Molly, that's harsher. Acid's a lot lighter.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, well, if they lied to me about acid, then they lied about mushrooms. And the only thing I can't get over is throwing up. But I recently did like 250 milligrams of weed and I fucking threw the fuck up. I'm like, oh, I can handle that.
Turns out you could die from weed.
Yeah. Turns out, yeah.
We were talking last week about Bert and Ernie, the homosexual puppets. Mm-hmm. And the raider for Bert and Ernie says, yes, they are gay puppets. They're based on my gay relationship where my boyfriend is a fuddy-duddy. That, of course, is Bert. Mm-hmm. I'm the jokester. That's Ernie. I named him Ernie. My boyfriend's name happens to be Arnie. You know, like all the signs are there. I'm like, okay, sounds like these are gay puppets.
Mm-hmm. It sounds so sweet.
The creator, where he physically put the puppet together of Bert, Frank Oz, and he created Miss Piggy, things on both sides, things mm-hmm. for Muppet Show and things for Sesame Street, which Sesame Street is Bert and Ernie. And he says, look, I don't know what the big deal is. If somebody's gay or straight, it doesn't matter. But they are not gay. I'm the creator. I know who and what they are, which came off a little homophobic to me. I got to be honest. So we asked the audience, what do you think? Are Bert and Ernie homosexual partners? 78% of the audience says yes. And I got to say, I agree completely. You know, there's the creator, yeah, but then there's the writer. God created you,
yeah.
but your brain is doing the writing. God doesn't want anybody gay, but are there gay people? Yes, you wrote your life that way.
How do people not know that they were a gay couple?
Like I never really considered it. And you know, there's not to switch gears a little bit, but in the same vein, uh-huh. people say a lot of things about Smurfette. Do you remember? You guys remember the Smurfs?
Sure.
I remember the Smurfs, but like I don't remember. I wouldn't know.
Okay. Well,
characters.
The Smurfs, they were all dudes except mm-hmm. for one female, but each one of them had a character. So there was Doc, who was older. Mm-hmm. There was only one of him. There was probably Sleepy. There was, you know, Angry, whatever. It's but right. there was hundreds of them, and there was one female, and people were like, oh, that's fucked up. Was, you know, they threw her in, it's sexist somehow. And the way I always saw it, and I never thought about this because I didn't fucking give a shit as a kid.
Is that under their pants, a Smurf has extra holes?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, nobody said that Smurfette had a vag. Like, nobody said how they procreate. Nobody said anything, but we put sexuality on them. Not one episode was a very special moment when Smurfette was making out with anyone. None of that shit happened. None of it was sexualized at all.
But except for the lipstick and bouncy hair.
But that's, you know, again, we're sexualizing that, right? But everyone else had their outfits too that go with the thing. So how I saw it, and I didn't realize it until now, I saw that it was, she's one like this. Like there was a person who was this kind of person. And then there's a person who likes blonde hair and a dress and heels. There's one person who likes.
But it's funny that everybody has a personality but her. Right? There's the carpenter, there's the narcissist, there's the goofy guy, there's the jokester, and there's a woman. It's what does the woman do? She womans.
Right. I don't remember that. But what is
she didn't have a job.
What does Doc do? He's a doctor. Old?
No, he makes medicine for Smurfs.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess. I just never saw it as sexual. I just thought of it as, so I guess maybe she's the soft one, but she what? I don't remember her being the soft one, you know?
It's just funny. I mean, I don't know. You know.
But it's not, these aren't creatures that we need them to be sexual or we need them sure. to procreate. They must be doing it some other way, but we put all that stuff on them.
Okay.
It's just weird.
All right. So what's
it's a weird thing humans do.
Yeah.
You really think about it. Like it's a cartoon and we're like, I wonder how they.
Right.
Like, how do they?
Where did they come from?
Yeah, like, what do they do?
Well, we weren't sending hate mail to Sesame Street.
No, but still,
that's because
we were just joking to ourselves. Like, I wonder if they're gay, and that was the end of it. And then this Frank Oz has to define it more. Like, there's no way.
I didn't even think about. Did you think about whether they were gay or not?
I never thought about it until I mean, like, this is obviously just like last time I saw Bert and Ernie like on TV when my niece was watching. I remember being like, that's kind of a strange relationship. But like, it never like clicked that they were gay. But I was like, I assume that they were.
To me, they were.
But I never like thought about it, you know?
Yeah. It reminded me of my older brother. My older brother was the fuddy-duddy. I was the jokester. And so they were brothers to me.
Mm, there you go. Yeah. So it
but they didn't
anything.
Define that.
Right. Yeah.
So if I didn't have a brother, yes, I probably would have thought they were two men shacking up. And once I could afford my own rent, go, wait a minute.
I love all the people.
Are they comedians? Why is this okay?
They're comics. Yeah. There are two comics living in New York City.
they sleep in the same bedroom. Why?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's hard because all you can call the creator is homophobic and people don't want that on them because he's probably not actively against homos. Mm. He probably wouldn't vote against them, like all this kind of stuff. But there's no other label but homophobia, which, yes, of course, this comes a little bit from homophobia. It comes from you separating hetero from homo, right? Yeah. Like, otherwise it wouldn't matter to you.
Right.
But I sometimes wish that we don't call them homophobics so that they can get over it faster. Even though, yes, there's truth in that. Like, it does come from your homophobic side of your brain. That doesn't mean your whole brain is homophobic, but...
Well, you can still make a sandwich, but when it comes to, is he anti-gay? Probably.
I don't know. There's anti-gay, and I know that this is so semantics and everyone should just get over it and stop just being any kind of anti-gay. Yeah. But there's anti-gay where you are not cool with it, and there's anti-gay where you're still uncomfortable with it because of social norms.
Yeah. Nobody's picketing him. They're saying, hey, 70-year-old, your tweets are coming off a little homophobic. That's it. Everybody likes Frank Oz. You run into him and realize he created the Muppets in Sesame Street. You'll shake his hand. There's a difference.
There is a difference. That's why I'm like,
nobody's confused.
Shouldn't there be a difference? He's confused. He's going like, no way. And like, he's, you know, raging against the homophobia terms because he's like, as far as he's concerned, I never did anything homophobic.
Well, his hand was up their ass. So he's actually.
And that was sexualized.
There's a lot
for
of
sure.
questions, you know, Frank Oz. A lot of questions for you. Oh, dude, I'm not homophobic. Well, I mean.
At keepingthegirl.com/forums, of course, there's a thread for every show that we do. And our buddy Bucho from Australia, he was saying, look, here's what he said that you didn't read and he's not homophobic. And I said, look, just admit who was the bottom and we'll call it a draw. And he said, it's clearly Bart, which I disagreed with. I always thought it was Ernie, and that's how he gets away with being such a jokester and picking on Bert.
This is why I love the internet. This is a conversation going on. He's like, no, he's the bottom, bro. Don't get me started.
He's like, because he nut, like Ernie's like, I'm going to pay for this later. But then Bucho.
Well, you made it fun, Keith.
Yeah, it sounds.
Well, Bucho brings up the point. He says, you know how Wall Street CEOs and army generals are A-types in public, but subs in the dungeon? It's kind of like that with Bert and his control freakness.
Okay.
Yeah, so I can see all sides on that.
All right. I was hoping because they were, you know, one of the first homosexual couples that they'd be flipping so that we don't stereotype that one has to be a bottom and one has to be a top. guess. If we're making things up, what if they take turns?
They don't, though. You, how many guests do we have on the show where they say if they're a dom? I never understood the terms, quite frankly.
Top or bottom, not dom.
What's the difference between dom and sum and top and bottom? I'm saying that, you know, that people say, I like to be controlled. I like to control. I'm like, don't you just like to be on top and sometimes the bottom? And it doesn't seem that way. People do have a preference in general, and Bert's a pervert.
Okay, Bert's a pervert.
That's can't argue this all day. By the way, speaking of gay, do you get into football?
Do I? I don't really watch football. No.
Okay.
No. I mean, I'm a giant fan, but I'm not like crazy into it.
Right.
You know, I watch like the UFC and stuff like that, and baseball.
Do you get excited? Let's say the Cleveland.
What's the UFC?
Fighting.
What does that have to do with football?
No, I'm saying I don't really watch. I watch like the UFC. I don't really watch like football or anything. Like
LOL.
That.
Don't worry, I'm a dude.
Basically what that was. I was like, no, I don't do this, but I do this.
Because
like,
you didn't go, don't worry, I still play with Barbies, but.
I don't like football per se, but.
You know what it was? I never did. I never played football. My mother would never let us. So I never like paid attention to it.
But she let you play UFC?
Well, I was like, I always did like karate and like jujitsu and stuff like that. And I was always into that. So like, but I never, it's just like football. I was like, oh, I mean, I watch it when it's on TV. And like there's, you know, on a Sunday and everyone wants to go drink or have a beer or something.
You know
like
about
that.
The downs, the first down.
Yeah, like I know the game. Yeah, thank you. Okay. Yes, I know the game. But I'm just like not a huge fan.
Wow, Cleveland Browns won their first game in literally 635 days, which is a misnomer. You don't play every day.
Yeah.
That's like 2 years.
That's 2 years.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Who is this? The Brown Cleveland?
Yeah.
Their quarterback is good. Baker Mayfield. Sure. His name is Baker Mayfield, but he's like a cocky. He's like a funny kid because he's like cocky. Like he, for example, a radio show trashed him.
Right.
He went on the radio show the following week and like defended himself, which a lot of people wouldn't. They'd be like, ah, forget it. Right. I actually like that he stood up for himself because a lot of people just whatever, they just won't respond.
I like but personality. The fact that he
did it, yeah,
I like attitude. Yeah. I think they should do a football dance after every first down. don't just point with your fist somewhere.
Did you see the guy? I only saw the highlight. The guy wiped his ass with the football, and they fined him for it.
How much?
But like 15 grand or something like that. Jesus. Or whatever it was. But he used to play on Cleveland.
God, they wouldn't even charge him that much if someone was going in his ass.
I crouch down. I pretend I give birth to the football. Yeah. The fellow teammates, you know,
stand around,
cuddle it. They, you know, they rock it back and forth, put it to sleep, and then I slam it.
That'd be great because if they don't accept that, you'd be like, what are you, transphobic?
Right. Exactly. Yeah, to be something.
And do you remember Bud Light had a promotion saying we put these fridges, locked fridges throughout Cleveland. And if Cleveland, whenever they win their first game, we're going to give free beer away. Mm-hmm. Which let's say Cleveland does end up winning a game, which of course they did. They paid for the promotion. Sure. Don't worry.
Yeah.
I mean, how many beers could be going out? Where are all these fridges? I bet you live in Cleveland and never even saw one. So anyway, the Cleveland police print out, we won, or excuse me, tweet out, Cleveland police, we won. Wait, oh God, the free beer thing. Okay, Cleveland, stay calm. Go Browns.
How do you show your ID to the refrigerator?
I'm gonna guess that they have some kind of representative at each of these, how many could there be, refrigerators, and they unlock it and pass one to each person nicely.
You know what's funny is,
but it's not gonna be that night, I guarantee you. That's getting thrown through a window, right?
Oh yeah, because they're too hyped. Yeah. What's funny is alcohol is literally a poison, but we get to talk about it so casually like this. Yeah. It's like, hey guys, follow me on Twitter because I put blunts around the city and like every day I'm just going to tell you 100 locations to find one. Right. And
I can't wait for that day.
Oh my God.
Fun. Yeah.
Right. Because you're just going to mellow out and like, you know, support the city by eating too much.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be great. Not this like, hey guys, while you're partying, let's put this in you.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, by the way, speaking of partying, can I brag about Blue Apron? I made this dish last night. Knock your Aunt Connie's socks off in 15, 20 minutes without exaggeration.
It's getting faster and faster, right?
I'm so good at it. Yeah. I am so good at it. Kyle was over and wanted to help. And I'm like, honestly, there's nothing for you to do.
Mm.
And I'm cooking sides and this and that and chicken with almonds and capers. And I had cauliflower the other day. I hated cauliflower.
Oh, did you get the cauliflower rice?
With tahini. And it was amazing. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
This Blue Apron, I'm telling you. You know what Kyle does, by the way?
What's she doing?
She gets Blue Apron. But here's the problem with people that already know how to cook. See, Blue Apron taught me how to cook. I'm good at it now. But I know when Blue Apron comes, follow the directions, learn about new food, etc. She knows she's a good cook. And so she picks and chooses what she wants to make out of Blue Apron. She threw sweet and sour sauce in the garbage. I'm like, I think that's the main ingredient. Right? I bet sweet and sour is in the title. And I go, how's Blue Apron? She goes, it's okay.
Right. You're just making chicken, though.
Right. Yeah. Then just buy chicken.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, I've never once had a bad meal from them.
That's true. And I get nervous. I'm just like, wow, I wouldn't be cooking with this ingredient. I don't know what it is.
I wouldn't be making cauliflower. That's the cardboard of vegetables.
I wouldn't put capers into anything. Turns out capers is just like this yummy, lemony flavor that you can put. Yeah. Right.
I'm going to tell you how to do it. Blue Apron, of course, they send you the right amount of ingredients. There's no wasting. Simple one page of what to do with pictures. I love it. I love it. And when I was dating, that was always my go-to. Mm-hmm. And guess what?
You're like, come on over, babe. I got the meals already made.
You say, I'll cook you dinner.
Which is huge.
They love that. There hasn't been one time I made Blue Apron and panties weren't on the floor. That is an honest to God fact. So check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free at blueapron.com/KATG. That's blueapron.com/KATG. Get your first three meals free. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
It's three free meals. It's like you don't have to go to the grocery store. Right. The shipping is free.
I'm not exaggerating when I say that how I didn't know how to cook, that I didn't know.
I remember that. He bought a sandwich maker one time and he thought that.
A sandwich maker? What is that?
A press.
It's a panini press.
Okay.
So, but it's called, I think it was important that it was called a sandwich press because I think when he bought it, he was like, this will make me sandwiches.
Yes. Yes.
I just put everything in and press a button.
I think he thought that it would take it out of the fridge and put it in because ask me how many times he used it.
How many?
Literally zero.
Yeah. But guess how many times I opened it waiting for a sandwich?
Four.
14. No, I didn't know you put a pizza in the oven. It's a world of difference from the microwave, you know?
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Now, boom, boom, boom. You know, now I got the skill and I'm stuck with a broad. Oh, well. Hey, so there's that new Michael Moore movie, Fahrenheit 11-9, which of course is a playoff.
Really went crazy.
Yeah, Fahrenheit 9-11. 11-9 is when we vote, of course.
Getting creative.
And I do want to see it. And Kyle said she wants to see it, but I noticed something with people in movies. Mm. Like they think they want to see it, but her time's limited. Yeah. She manages a gym. She does comedy. She has three kids, cares about two of them. This takes up a lot of time. So if she gets time alone with me, we want to do the business, right?
The movie business, yeah.
No,
yeah.
Not the business, no? The sex
the
business.
Blue Apron, right.
The sex business. A little food, a little panty dropping. So then we go to, so she thinks she wants me to save it for her, but I know she doesn't because I know we'll never get to it. What do you do? What do you do? Do you just lie and say and see it anyway?
Always lie, yes. Yeah. I think Kyle would appreciate that I would say that to you.
Is it in theaters, that movie?
Yeah, it is.
Why would you, like, I wouldn't spend time watching that movie. Like, I don't care enough about politics.
And about our life in America.
Nah, I don't give a shit. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Whatever's going to happen. I'm not doing nothing to stop it.
I think that's why this movie is happening.
Right.
Well, Keith has a movie pass, and that is, I feel like movies are one of his hobbies.
Yes.
So it's like, unless movies are your hobby also, I wouldn't. I've said that to you. I'm like, oh, I want to see that, but I know not to say wait for me.
Well, I know Michael Moore, for the most part, does good work. And I don't follow politics necessarily.
Yeah.
But if you're putting together a grade A movie, I'll take an hour and a half. I don't study food.
Is that entertaining, though, that movie?
Sure. Like,
in a sense that it gives you the information on a platter where you otherwise would be maybe speaking a little more from ignorance. So now you're a little bit more educated and it wasn't like in an inconvenient way.
You see this movie, you look up a 5-second think piece of what he got wrong, and you have all your facts. It's not hard. I was going to say, I don't study food, but I'll see if one big movie about what are we eating is making the top of the charts, I'll sit down for an hour and a half and see what's wrong with cows.
You know what you should do? tell her that you're going to go see it by yourself and that you'll take notes and she'll have the same education without the hour and a half
smart.
To spend. Yeah. And tell her you'll whisper to her during sex. So it could be like a twofer.
Okay, baby, we're anti-Trump. Turns out.
It turns out we're anti-Trump. Okay.
Either that or sit in the back of the theater and like for 20 minutes, you get what you want. And for 20 minutes, she gets what she wants.
You know how the kids in cages was disgusting? Well, turns out it's super disgusting.
Hey, Kyle, looks like the lesson is we should vote. Right. Can you imagine like you go out of there? It's like, you know what? Michael says not to vote.
Yeah, you know that's what it is.
You know how Trump says terrible racist things? There's like more of them we didn't know about. But yeah, I'll check it out. I thought this tweet was very funny from Sarah Beattie. She says, saying you're sorry you voted for Trump is like saying, sorry, I fucked your dog. Like, thanks, but you're still someone who likes to fuck dogs. So Kyle says to me a couple days ago, I got tickets to Jules. Do you want to go? Mm-hmm. And I get excited because I like Who's Gonna Save Your Soul, Your Intuition. I like that song, but it's a trick. It's not Jewel, it's Jules, and Jules is ballet. Oh. Yeah, and I had my Jewel shirt on and everything. Highly embarrassing at the Lincoln Center.
So you went?
I did go. Mm-hmm. I'm a very good sport.
It's it's funny that people ask him, so did you go? No, fuck her, fuck ballet.
Right, like, I'm out.
The fuck? I'm in a fucking relationship with her. She won't see 9/11 or whatever the fuck Michael Moore thinks.
She'll see 11/9.
If you didn't have kids, you might have stuck in ballet, but no, I'm not interested what they do.
Right.
You know what? It is such a man's world, and even in the world of ballet, the guys are not on their toes. The women are.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
That didn't feel right. And these, oh my God. These toes, you want to throw up. Maybe you're anorexic and you're having a tough day getting it all out. Google ballet.
What a hot tip, yeah?
Yeah, Google ballet feet.
Yeah.
Ballet feet?
Look at this. Ooh. You can't be on your toes. And I mean, they're on their toes every second.
It's the Wicked Witch of the West.
They're like on, they're on their first, like, knuckle is flat. Look at your toes. Now picture your toes bending, and now they're flat. It's like.
I thought they had steel. I thought they had steel toe in the front. I thought that was the whole point of this.
You're still on the, you're still on it.
Oh, yeah, I guess you're right.
Did we not learn anything from Black Swan?
Right?
No, honestly, the only thing I remember of that movie is the sex scene. Hello. I ain't gonna lie to you. It's literally, I don't remember the plot. I just remember them hooking up, and I was like, whoa, this is the best movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, I pointed to the ballet people. I'm like, that woman and that woman, they're both the same. Yeah.
I love watching dance. I can't imagine. This is what I think that you thought about this. Let me see if I'm right. All right. You understood the height of athleticism.
Sure. It's a skill. It is amazing.
You were like in the beginning, in the first dance, you were like, huh. But for the first 1 minute, and you were like, maybe I could get into this. After about a minute, for sure, at the end of the first dance, you were like, I think they're repeating themselves. And the last dance was, you were like, why didn't they do that the whole time?
It's graceful. It's pretty. But then it keeps going.
How long is it? An hour and a half?
That's a lot.
Probably, I think there's three acts, probably 30 minutes, 15-minute intermission twice.
Nice.
And, okay. but like him just saying, yeah, it's the same thing over and over again. And you know this because even without searching for it, I know I've seen news or a documentary, something about ballet, right? Mm-hmm. And the guy just comes into the, you know, from France. He's like, hello, people I've never met. We're going to do a pirouette, enchanté to a sachet to a toodaloo, 7-8. And they start doing these things. So there's only seven things to fucking do. Right? Now we're going to zigzag, bop. And then they do that. And it's like, okay, but you did that.
I love how fluent you are in all the languages of the women you date. Look at you.
Kyle was probably crying watching it. Right. Just take so taken back. And he's like, what is this?
Right. Yeah. Keith almost falls asleep.
No, I looked through the program. I was hoping they'd have the person's face. You know, that's on stage, and right next to him, a picture of their busted feet. I want to see that and be like, oh, you are a main player. Look at you, barely have toes.
Yeah. And what's funny is, of the arts, dancers have the smallest window to make it because your body starts changing and you have to be in such a height of athleticism. Yeah. And then not only that, I guess it's like football. Like, not only do you have to know this well, you have to be like so good to make any kind of money. It's so rough. And then you're done by the time, what, if you're 30, you're lucky that you have a career.
If you have stubs for feet, you're like the king of ballet, right?
I don't know.
You're never
know.
In pain. I mean, you know these guys are shooting up cortisone. I'm not exaggerating. They really do that. They shoot up cortisone, like, on stage.
You know what I heard? That they, if you don't have as good a stretch as you want, and you're really, like, pursuing this ballet life because mm-hmm. you have to be really, really good, they'll break their, and tell me, I know Kyle knows, they'll break their legs or get it, you know, strategically fucked up. Like, they'll fuck up their legs so that they can put it back in a place where they have more of a stretch.
Really?
This is, I mean, ask Kyle.
Now, of course, that's next level crazy, though, right?
I mean, like, look at those toes. Your toes are, they're binding their feet. They will do anything. They, even their schedule is rigorous.
This is why there's 17 curtain calls, because they're standing in blood. I'm like, well, we already just saw this person three times. Great again. But no, they're ready to die. I guess it's fair.
I never realized it's that. I mean, I knew it was obviously strenuous on the body and all that stuff, but I didn't realize that they would break a leg, literally.
I heard this a long time ago, so I wonder if I'm retweeting.
Is that why they say break a leg?
To be better.
Like, for real? Is that like you know what I mean?
You're good, but break a leg.
Yeah, like break a leg. You're good, but like break a leg. You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck? That's crazy to me.
Everybody knows when they study this. Like, Jules is the name of a famous ballet. And the audience members, I mean, that had to study this because they knew exactly when to clap when it's not obvious. Mm-hmm. And everybody wanted to be the first one.
What?
You know what I mean?
Was it after a move?
It's after a move, but it's not after every move. And it's not after necessarily a move I think is more amazing than a different one.
What were you missing, though? Like, that move is about to come?
They just knew. They've been here before, and it's like, now's when. What? Yeah, that's the way I felt. That's why it just felt so, and it felt so, I mean, it's Lincoln Center. It felt so decadent. It felt like the purge was going on outside, and I'm a piece of shit.
Did you get all dressed up and everything?
I wore a sleeves.
Yeah, he had the Jewel shirt on.
I wore sleeves and jeans.
Cut off Jewel shirt. He was like, what's up? What are we doing here?
I didn't know what Jewels was about, so I wore Mardi Gras beads. So during one of the intermissions, Kyle gets a glass of wine. Mm-hmm. Guess how much?
Oh, shit.
16?
Okay, guess.
I don't know. It's got to be expensive. It's got to be...
18?
18, 19?
$27.
That is out of control.
No.
Now, the tickets are free from a friend. This is the kind of math I do.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and I'm like, all right, so I don't drink, so let's split 27 in half, and we just went to the theater for $14.
Jesus.
That's nuts.
What? Did you taste the wine even though you're not drinking? I mean, because I got to taste this.
Better than the best wine I ever had for $27.
It comes with a strawberry. So I'm like, I want a strawberry for me.
Give me the strawberries.
You're asking the bartender to put all the fruit that he has. Like, right. You know what? Throw a cherry in there. Fuck you.
What else you got?
Right.
Make this sangria right now.
Figure it out.
There were only two people of color when it comes to the dancers. And there's a lot of people. And, you know, then I start paying attention. Do they pair them up when it comes to the pairing? And, of course, they don't. They'd be weird if they did. But it's funny that that's obviously a move, right? It's funny when you see a commercial on TV and you have the white person, the black person, the Asian person. It's like, it's good you have all the people, but that was a thought. Mm-hmm. Whether it's for good or not, it's a thought. And that's always funny to me.
Yeah. And this is there's all kinds of stuff about people of color in ballet that they're so removed from it. Even their bodies, you know, like they reject African-American bodies because it's like, oh, that's too thick.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, if you even try out for LaGuardia High School, they line you up and you only can wear like unitards, leotards, nothing that breaks where your body is. So they line you up. You face forward, they write some stuff down. You face the side, they write some stuff down. And it's very possible that you just actually, literally were born with not a ballet body. And the ballet body is very Anglo. It's very like, no bust. I knew this this modern dancer, she got a breast reduction because otherwise she would not be able to take dance seriously because you have to, all your parts have to be very small and strong. Otherwise you're distracting.
Right. Huh. Is there
again?
A reason?
I could be getting this wrong.
No, but is there a reason? Like, is it strictly they want just a certain look, or is it because they want it's certain moves that can be done better when you're more well, slender to me, or how slim or whatever.
Could it be more moves can be done? If you're doing the moves, you're doing the moves. Why are you looking at my body like that? If it
no,
was
you're right.
Just,
I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, just, if you're telling me that if I look like this, I'm not aerodynamic, but I do the moves, then
I did them.
I guess what does it matter? Yeah, at that point. Yeah. I guess it is just aesthetically appealing. It just has to do with the look.
Ballet is very snotty.
Yeah.
It's known for being very, you know, exclusive. Mm-hmm. So it's a club, you know. There's a lot of negative shit around ballet. Sure, of yeah. all the dances, you know, of all the different kinds of dance, ballet is known for being the most exclusive, the most rejecting of others and stuff like that that I know of.
But I left there really feeling, you know?
Yeah.
And then we had sex in the park. I feel grounded.
You had to do something gross.
I had to. there's that building Jazz at Lincoln Center right in that area. And the other day they were playing a movie called Free Solo. And it's a documentary that a husband and wife directing team put together about Alex Honnold. And he scales the 3,000-foot tall El Capitan in Yosemite with his bare hands, no safety gear.
Now, the wind alone.
Now picture you're the husband and wife team, and you agreed together. Let's do it. Boy, I hope he lives.
Wait, so she's filming it and he's going?
No, no.
What is it?
These guys are just, there happened to be a husband and wife. They co-directed. A third person.
Is climbing it.
Uh-huh. So they both said, so they had the picture, like someone go, how's that project going? Yeah, he died. But we're working on something new where somebody licks a turned off garbage disposal. Yeah. You know?
That is true. Yeah, he has to survive for that to come out.
Right, because,
no way. Yeah, what do you do?
Right, so you're watching this. You're at the edge of your seat, but you probably know how it ends up. And I'm going to assume he doesn't die. That's not a feel-good movie. I'm assuming he doesn't die.
You don't think the doc would come out if he died? I think, wouldn't you want to watch it if he died? Oh, God, are you trying to not tell me that he died?
Well, if you're...
And spoiler?
If you really think that he... If you really don't know, then... I don't know. Go see it.
You'll be excited. Someone scaling a wall. I don't give a shit.
Well, how do you go? Yeah, I'm going to direct it. I mean, I really don't know yet, and my fact checker is very slow on this. But why wouldn't at the end of the movie you meet the director at Lincoln Center? I guarantee the directors were there. You don't think the directors go, yeah, that was a bummer. You know what I mean? We encouraged it, but didn't work out the way we planned. But you know what? You can be hit by a bus tomorrow. Yeah. Have a good night, everybody.
Can't be worse than 11-9.
What about that guy who got eaten by a bear? That was an interesting documentary. He died at the end.
Who recorded
that? Was that the Reverend?
The Revenant, yes.
The Revenant. I don't even know the name of the movie.
How about that guy that climbed inside a bear to survive the winter after his girlfriend was raped? By the way, we brought up the other week doing poppers. You know, poppers, the little things
you throw and they...
No, close. Little things you throw and they pop. That should be like a personality test, right? What are poppers to you? It's what I'm talking about is the drug, and it's a small vial of liquid that you inhale, and it gets you real horny and revved up.
And it loosens your butthole.
It's a real thing?
It's a real thing.
Okay. This is my first hearing it. I have no idea what it is.
And I happen to... When I first came to New York, I saw him and tried it once. And then I happened the other day to be at a bodega that had him. And I'm like,
I was about to ask if it's like Rhino 5000 that you see on like the, you know what I mean? You ever see those things? It's like Rhino 5000. I'm like, why would I buy this? What the fuck? Who's coming in and be like, let me get that and the Skittles and the Snickers and I'll get out of here. You're like, what?
I feel like those are the bodegas that, you know, they're selling extra shit on the side.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Did I tell you? I'll tell you about my bodega guy in just a second. Continue.
So I try it, and it gives you this way down feeling where you just feel kind of shitty, but it does get you excited right away. Mm-hmm. I just also don't see how it's not really practical. And I think this is whenever I did it the first time, I only did it once because you have to hold this liquid. So I'm masturbating, and you got to have this liquid to sniff.
Like, you did it before you masturbated or also during?
I did it both, but it's like, it's not comfortable. You know what I mean? If you spill this liquid, you die. So
you should have done it in the ballet. Kyle would be like, what's going on? Next thing you'd be like, this is the best thing I've ever seen.
And then doing it during sex, even if your partner's into it, it's not like you do cocaine and then you can have sex. It's you would do this as you're having sex.
I guess when you're face down, ass up.
Right. And then you just keep sniffing. And yeah. even though we
it's both. It's in your pillow.
But even though we both agreed uh-huh. on what we were doing, I'd be a little weirded out. Like, really? You need a third sniff?
Hmm.
You know?
Maybe your butt's not open enough.
It doesn't feel practical. Anyway.
Maybe that's a compliment.
I was very surprised by this. We asked the audience, have you ever done poppers? And again, maybe they think it's the, I hope they heard the show first. Maybe they think fireworks. 21% says yes.
Good on you.
Isn't that some?
Yeah. I never tried it, but I don't know that I, that's not, that doesn't sound like my thing. I'm horny enough. That's A. My butt's plenty open.
I paid 10 bucks. You can have my bottle for $5.
I got a hard time just trusting anything from a bodega. Even the water that I'm like,
right.
Like, I mean, I know it's sealed, but I don't know. Like, what does this guy do?
You also sell glue. So where does this
Come what's
from?
Up here? Like, what's going on? I just.
Right. You go, I'll take the poppers and a can of Coke. I need a straw. I'm not putting my lips on that.
Yeah, I'm not putting my lips on this.
So in New York, because my bodega guy has been shady for a second in my favor. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I mentioned this on the show before, but I buy blunt wraps. Mm-hmm. I buy cigarillos, and that works as blunt wraps for me. So what it is these really cheap cigars that I break open. I take out the insides, and I put weed in it, mm-hmm. for those who don't know. And they come, a lot of them come 4 cigars for 99 cents. It says 99 cents of the package, so they can't even fuck with you. Mm-hmm. Recently, New York raised the prices of, I think specifically cigarillos or cigars to, it says 99 cents on the package. They're charging you $15 at bodegas because that's how much tax they decided to put on these people who sell it. If you sell it for less, you get a fine of like $10,000 or $20,000. So,
you know what? I would eat Tide Pods too. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
So I feel like my bodega guy has a very, very clear view of me. I only buy blunt wraps and now batteries. So we all know what my weekends are looking like. And so... So one day I come in and he knows, he just looks at me and I tell him how many of those I want. It's usually 10 so that I don't have to bother coming back for a while. So, this time I'm trying to lower my cigar rates. So I go, 2 and he goes, 2. I'm like, stop judging me reverse. Like, this is crazy. Don't worry about it.
Sad.
Yeah. Like, he's like, don't slow down on me now. I'm like, shut up. This is $2. Get out of here.
Yeah.
So he goes, are you sure? Because it's broken English and everything. He's telling me from now on, I have to charge everybody $15 per this thing. He's like, obviously, I'm not going to charge you that. And I go, I think I heard that right. Mm-hmm. But he's not going to order anymore. So he cleared all of usually it's behind him. He cleared it all. It's now behind his store where no one can see because he doesn't want people asking for it because he's had to charge $15. So now when I go into the bodega, he sees me, I go 5, he goes in the back, he comes out, and he's so shady about the whole thing. And the first time
I have to hand it to you through your cooch.
Seriously, it's so bad. The first time I came in, it's him and his dad or something, and they switch gears. So like I came at the shift change, and his dad doesn't know, even though his dad knows I'm cool. Mm-hmm. So, and it could be his uncle, who knows? It could be someone else. And so I come in. Right away, he starts acting shady, like, this girl's cool sort of thing. And I go, well, it's not cool anymore. You're being a shady fuck.
No, what the fuck?
And he goes, yeah. And they, like, shadily give it to me. There are other people in the store. They give it to me on the side. They put it in the package before I can see. I'm just like, dude, this could be so much easier. Just let me slip you the 10. No. And the first time I came in after this arrangement, it was, you know, it was me and Xerxes. And he's like, and I go, cut. I'll tell this guy to wait outside. Stop making it fucking weird. It was just the weirdest thing.
Yeah,
and
I just sniff glue.
Well, the last time I went, I go, give me 20 because I'm done with this whole shady shit. Like, I want to buy 100 of them. Get out of here. He goes, I only have 3 left. And in fact, a new guy was behind the counter. So I had to go around the bodega and go, dude, are we still on? For fucking cigars.
Are we still on? Are we still on?
Because I didn't know what to ask this other rando. So I'm like, it's me. Are we good?
It's like everything I assumed was going on in bodegas.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's everything I thought was always happening in them. But it's good to know that it's still kind of happening.
If the refrigerator isn't working, you can get these things for $1.
But now my bodega guy is out. And I went to other ones to see if... Because I'm like, you're fucking with me, right? Like, you just want to charge me 15 eventually? No, they're all charging like 12, 15, 16. Sucks. Hmm.
But I can go to war at 18! That's interesting. Brian McKenna. Santa, you want to see what's doing? Follow him online, social media. Yes. He shares it all. He almost won't shut up, right?
Social media to me is like it's like homework. I'm not like a fan of having to tweet and like all this like.
I do it for you guys, so follow me.
Right. I just like write funny things. It's never like a joke. Like there's people who write perfectly worded jokes and I'm like, oh, that's so great. I don't want to sit down and like have to do that for
Twitter. I like when comics come here and go, I do it, but don't expect much out of me.
Yeah, like I do it. Yeah. Like just come see me live. I'm probably funnier live anyway than reading a fucking stupid tweet.
Will you? I know Kyle, recommended us to each other. Mm-hmm. Will you tell Keith something he needs to know about Kyle that maybe he doesn't know, or a nice anecdote, a fun story?
Hopefully you don't know her better, but you have known her longer.
No, I have known her longer, but no, I have nothing really bad to say about Kyle. I really don't. Mm-hmm. Kyle's a fun, every time I've ever been on a show with her, I've done the road with her a couple of times. She's like a breath of fresh air in the sense of like some comics can really bring you down, like mm-hmm. because they're not like they're nowhere in the business or something like that, and it's like they're kind of bitter and like whatever. But like anytime you're with Kyle, at least with me, you probably know this better than I do now, but like she's like fun. Where you're like, happy, oh, yes, let's just have fun. Like, there's no, okay. like, you know what I mean? And, like, even I've driven her home a couple times from club.
What?
Thank you.
Yeah. I've driven her home. But, like, even in the car ride home, like, she's not a bore. And it's like, at least she's, like, a good person. And it's like, oh, good. Like, it's always fun.
Right. But
when she's around.
I did stop her from talking to men.
You're like, this is the last time you'll ever speak of her.
Brian, you can see, by the way, at the Paramount, October 13th in Long Island with Jim Brewer, right?
Yes, opening with Jim Brewer.
Let's say people want to see dates or a last-minute show you put together. What's the best place to
BrianMcKenna.com.
All right.
That's it, BrianMcKenna.com. I also have a Facebook video, too, that I did with Jim Brewer. It's a sketch that I wrote.
It's right there on your website.
Yeah, it's on my website.
To work with?
Oh, he's the best.
Yeah,
he's actually exhausting because
he's so good.
He's so funny off stage too. Like just casually going through like life, that it's hard to like. I'm like, all right, man, stop. Like you need to like not. You need to not imitate the waiter right now as he's coming over to us. Like he'll just do something and you just start.
Right? Are you like? Dude, I'm talking about this chick I knocked up. Do I have to talk to Brian Johnson,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's like doing Ozzy Osbourne. And I'm like, okay, that's enough.
Brian, very nice meeting you.
You too, man. Thank you guys for having me.
We're going to do the after show, of course. It's Silent Trailers. Be sure that you're subscribed on YouTube and we'll find you there. KeithAndTheGirl.com.